Thank you so much, Amber, for that beautiful solo on the saxophone. And I think you also played the piano? Yes, separately. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prayer Unitarian Universalist Society. My name's Mary Mullen. I've been a member of Prairie since 1980, I think, or at least coming since 1980 and maybe joining a year or so later. I've taken part in many different committees and have been chair of some, program committee for a long time and co-chair for a long time. And I was president for a couple of years. And most recently, I've been associated with the History Book Committee, History Committee, and now the Archives Committee. But fortunately, we got another chair, Dirk Herr Hoymann, for the Archives Committee now, so I can rest a little bit. Welcome this morning, this day, and this opportunity to be together in community, which is a time of joy, comfort, and sometimes challenges. This Unitarian Universalist congregation is a place where we come to learn more about being human. We're not here because we figured out all of life's questions or because we think we've got it all right. We come here to learn more about being in relationship together, how to listen, how to forgive, how to be vulnerable, and how to create trust and compassion in one another. Our chalice lighting is by Florence Kaplow, and it'll be read by Reverend Ralph Tiksinski.
A full moon rises behind the silhouette of trees. As we kindle this flame, we honor and remember those who have passed into the mystery. Their brightness lives on in our vision, their courage lives on in our commitments, and their love continues to bless the world through us.
Our opening music is number 146, Soon the Day Will Arrive, accompanied by Amber. And the words are going to be, we're going to have something different because we've got a subscription to the online hymnal, I guess. And it's going to be projected on the screen. So you can either find it in your book or you can just look up at the screen. And I experienced something like this. Oh, it was back in the 1980s when I went down to the Mexican border with the border support group, and I attended a Catholic church, and that's how it was done way back then. So it's fun to have it done that way. So please stand in body and spirit, or spirit, and Amber will play it through once, and then we'll join in. She plays it through once.
Thank you.
meditation. I'll ring the chime at the beginning and to end this time of silence. We'll start our All Souls Day presentation with a responsive reading. It's numbered 721 in the Gray Hymnal, "They Are Still With Us" by Kathleen McTeague. I'll give you a chance to find it in your book, 721 in the back. I'll read the bold, but regular type, and the congregation can read the italicized type. In the struggles we choose for ourselves, in the ways we move toward forward in our lives and bring our world forward with us,
it is right to remember the names of those who gave us strength in this choice of living. It is right to name the power of our lives well lived.
We share a history with those lives. We belong to the same motion.
They too were strengthened by what had gone before. They too were drawn up by a vision of what might come to be.
Those who lived before us, who struggled for justice and suffered injustice before us, have not melted into the dust and have not disappeared.
They are with us still. The lives they lived hold us safe.
Their words remind us and call us back to ourselves. Their courage and love evoke our own.
We, the living, carry them with us.
Oh, sorry. We, the living, carry them with us. We are their voices, their hands, and their hearts.
We take them with us, and with them choose to be the path of living.
Thank you. Now is our reading of the names. Each time we have this service, All Souls Day, we read the names of selected people from our membership. This year, beginning from the year 2008, coming up to the present day. And I'll say I knew every single one of these people. You know, if we'd gone all the way back to 1967 when we started, I wouldn't know them all, but I knew every one of these. So every time I hear these names, I call up a picture in my mind and many other memories for each of these people. Ron Fry and we'll read these names. Rachel Siegfried.
Betty Jollings.
Dick Bonzer.
Jack Jollings.
Barbara Rames.
David Johnson.
Dolita Chaprou.
Dave Zockham.
Fran Ramica.
Gordon Cunningham.
Pat Watkins. Nancy Garst.
Norma Briggs.
Galen Smith.
Ori Laux.
Hugh Iltis.
Warren Hagstrom.
Jim Carpenter.
Jean Matos.
Ruth Calden.
Mike Briggs.
Rosemarie Lester.
Lee Haspel.
Robin Curray.
Beth Potter.
John France.
Bill Parmenter.
Donna Murdoch.
Judy Skog.
Rose Smith.
Phoenix Wardell.
Evelyn Kane.
Marilyn Rucking.
KK Anderson. Eleanor Laux.
Dara Chavey.
At this point, we now welcome all of you, or any of you, to share loved ones that are no longer with us. Please come up to the podium so those on Zoom can see you, see who's speaking, and or you can raise your hand and one of our helpers will bring a microphone to you. Introducing your name and pronouns is welcome. And if you brought a picture or some other memento of the person, you can put it on the table. and speak for, you know, a minute or two, maybe, about, maybe not even that long, about the person. We really want to get to know them, though.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sue Ellerhorst, and I'm pretty new to this community. I've been here a few times. You may recognize my face. I've been here about four or five times. And I wanted to share with you a non-human person, as they're being called, for an orca family in the southern residence. And I attend some super pods starting in 2016, a group of activists in the Blackfish documentary. You may have seen that. They get together in Friday Harbor in Washington, and they have a free to the public seminar. And I attended my first one in 2016. And that was then I really became aware of the southern residents who were becoming extinct. There's only 74 of them left. And there was one in captivity, Lolita. You may have seen her in the news. She was swimming in that bathtub for about 50 years. She was captured at the age of two, separated from her family, and she died last year. And I was part of the activists and people who were trying to get her out of there and attended her online ceremony. But anyway, here's a picture of her. And she was 57 years old. And so that's her. Slowly. And you know the orcas by their saddle patch and their curved fin. She was a female, but that was one of the pieces of artwork. Thought I'd share that with you. When she died, I cried for a week. I was brokenhearted. She was a loved one.
My name is Barbara Chatterton Fry, she, her. And about a little over a year ago, I lost a really dear, sweet, close friend. She was Ron's sister-in-law and my best buddy. Even though she lived in Tulsa, we talked on the phone several times every week. And when we were in Oklahoma, she showed us the wonders and delights of everything down there, including introducing us to Greenwood, where there was so much horror happening, but nobody talked about it out loud in Oklahoma, and beautiful things like the Gathering Place, the Woody Guthrie Museum, just over and over, and regular old talks. Every single time we got in the car, we talked to her on the phone, and she would be patient when we would hit big steep hills and we would lose her. And anyway, I just think of her still so often. Susan.
Hello, Kent Wenger, he, him. I guess I'm going to do two here. I'll try not to go on too long. The obvious one is my dad, who died in December of 2022, and he died very unexpectedly. And we didn't have a chance to really say goodbye to him or anything. But he was certainly a big influence in my life. And that was very tough. And then the other one is my dog Theo, or the dog that I had with my ex. And if corporations are people, I would certainly say that dogs and orcas can be people. And my ex actually said something at one point to the effect that she thought that I loved him in a more pure way than anyone else. And I think in some ways it's easier to love pets than people, maybe. They tend to not have the ability to do such nasty things to you that people can sometimes. But anyhow, he was a great little guy. He loved people and he loved other dogs and actually causes to meet a bunch more of our neighbors because, you know, whenever somebody was out walking a dog, he would want to be friends with the dog. So we met all the dog owners in the neighborhood.
Hi, I'm Evan Creed, he, him. In August, I suddenly and unexpectedly lost my mother. My father had passed away when I was 15, so her name was Marilyn. And so, you know, I got to know her a lot as I grew into an adult and just were able to keep that relationship and grow that relationship. And We were a lot alike, and I miss her.
Yeah. I'm Johanna, she, her. Yeah, Marilyn was the best mother-in-law a person could ask for. She was kind, she was welcoming, she was really funny and had kind of a snarky sense of humor. And she was such a wonderful and precious grandma to our two kiddos. And I'm really grateful that I got to be a part of her life and she was part of mine.
My name is Ken Skog. My pronouns are he and him. My wife, Judy, passed away 2 years ago, this coming December. And one of the things I thought I would bring to show you is a little figure that she had that I really enjoy. It's a little Buddha sort of figure, but it's not a Buddha. It's something called a Bodhisattva. A Bodhisattva is, I guess you can kind of think of it as a guiding spirit, kind of, although spirit taken loosely. And I guess particularly I enjoy this because it reminds me of Judy's sense of spirituality and optimism. This figure is smiling, and it may be a child because it's wearing a purple bib.
My name is Katie, pronouns are she, her. So we're kind of new to UU, but I kind of put together a little cube with some of the people important that my husband and I have lost. We have our grandparents, all four of my grandparents, three of my husband's. My Aunt Kathy was like a second mom to me. My daughter's middle name's named after her. We have my husband's cousin and then two of our dear friends who were taken too soon.
My name's Matt. So my wife Judy is at home with the baby and Carl's downstairs with the kids and Paula is at home not feeling well. So I wanted to mention Carl's mom, Joanne Wacker, who passed just a few months ago. We had her memorial last weekend down in Mendota, Illinois, where she grew up and spent most of her life. She actually came up and moved to Madison just a few years back, and so we got a chance to spend more time with her. She got to see all the kids, and she, Hannah, who's at home napping, was her 16th great-grandkid, who she got a chance to meet. Really lovely woman, so warm and welcoming. I was really privileged to get a chance to know her for a bit.
Hi, Dirk Herr-Hoyman. This is a picture of my parents, George and June Hoyman, and they're standing in front of a trailer which is parked at Camp Randall. Now, this picture was taken not too long after World War II, and there was a place there for people on the GI Bill, which my dad was one of, to have residence, and my dad was going to school at UW at the time, and so this kind of, it's an interesting picture, brings back old memories, and they later moved up to Oshkosh where I was born. They were actually from Neenah, and then eventually we went to Indiana. But and then my dad's actually got a little bit of hair here. That's one of the few pictures I have seen where he's got at least some hair. And George and June. So my youngest sister is named Georgianne Hoyman, Georgianne June Hoyman. And we always joke that they kind of ran out of energy to name kids when they got to number five. So. Anyways, but Camp Randall, and I don't know, there's stories you can find about that encampment there, so.
I'm Dan Proud, he, him. Our daughter, Leslie, passed away a couple years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago. She lived in St. Louis. pardon me, and we spent a lot of time with her the last year going down there, and learned a lot about who she had become as an adult, because we were kind of separated by distance for most of the years after she went to school. And one of the things that I remember, this is a picture of her, is that she was always very present with what was going on at any time, and made the most of any situation. And she was always looking for the funny things and happy things in life, which is a good thing for me to remember these days. I don't have to be morose and sad and affected by what's going on in the world. I can still be happy every day. And just an example of something that I didn't know about until we were spending more time with her at the end was that she had been keeping notes about what it was like to have cancer. And I just wanted to share the first page of what I put to a little booklet that I made from a collection of her writings. The booklet is called Killing It. No cheesy titles. I already happen to have this perfectly titled journal, so here we go. No matter what happens, at least I can help write a funnier cancer book or pamphlet. I mean, chemotherapy and you? Cheesy. The title should be something like, Yo, it's chemo time. I asked the nurse who called if there were any funny cancer guides, and she said, No, but there should be. Nothing makes you forget about turning 40 like getting diagnosed with cancer.
I'm Carlene. When my sister Susie died 2 years ago, I suddenly realized that I was the last surviving member of my family. And so today I'd like to introduce you to them and just remember them. My father was Carl Davis. My mother was Jean Harris Davis, no relative. And there was Diana, my older sister, and Susan, my younger sister. And it was a wonderful family to grow up in. We lived in Chicago in a nice little bungalow. And we had lots of picnics, no matter what the weather. And we were a very musical family. My father, in fact, that was his profession. He sang on WLS radio when I was growing up. He was a star, but to me, he was daddy. But I don't have anything to put on the table today, but my son, Adam, is sitting in a chair in the back, and he definitely carries on the legacy of the Davis family through his music.
I am Dean, and this is Orange.
She, her, he, him.
She, her. And on Wednesday, we lost our sister-in-law in San Francisco. Her name was Liz McMahon, and she was just a very intelligent and accomplished and vivacious personality that we knew and loved for decades. It was Orange's brother's wife.
One of the things that Liz was known for was spontaneously breaking into song, sometimes embarrassing if you're in a restaurant, but it was a bit of who Liz was. And in fact, early July, she was in this room as we honored the memory of my stepmother who died in April. But one of the things that Liz did was she wrote poems and songs for family occasions. So I didn't bring a picture of her, but I actually brought... It's not signed, but it's a poem for Orange's birthday in 2011, and only Liz would have used some of the words that are in this. She was a psychologist, and she was a pioneer in the use of VR in therapy as well as hypnotism, and she made my brother's life very happy.
I'm Kate, she, her. And just a little over a month ago, I lost my boyfriend of 15 years. And I really miss him. He was a major Packer, you know. So I'm celebrating with all of our mutual friends. You know, we're watching the game together. And we had a great vacation. It was an extended Labor Day weekend. It was short. That was the last time I saw him. And we went over to the UP, across from Marinette into the Menominee, and stayed in a state park. And we had 16 of us, and it was just a one. We had many good times together. We were both big nature lovers, so we had that in common. And he was only 68 years old and just retired for a mere year and a half. So, apparent heart attack. So, thank you.
Hi, is there anyone else who'd like to speak? We can bring a mic to you. Did you want to, Mary? Okay.
Well, I'm Mary, she and her, and I can't enumerate the people who came before me, who've all passed away. I am the last leaf on this particular branch of the tree, and then I have the ones who came after me. Unfortunately, some of those people have passed long before their time. I've mentioned here a couple of times losing one daughter at age 19 and another one at age 35. And of course, my parents, I expected them to go, and they went. They only got to be in their 80s and 90s. But I lost a nephew. Most of my parallel family are nieces, but this nephew was very special. He was the middle child of my older brother, and he was an engineer who flew his own plane, and he designed a huge, he lived in Tennessee and was a consulting engineer. So having his own plane, he could go all over the country. And he was in his early 60s, and he was taking it a little bit easier. His idea of an easy vacation was to work hard and go on a cruise, which was very active. Unfortunately, they were taking a cruise. This is about 5 or 6 years ago. They were taking a cruise across the newly opened Northwest Passage. And when they were off the coast of Greenland, he and his wife, he became very ill. He was, the people on the ship couldn't take care of him, so they took him into the little village in Greenland, where there was a very tiny hospital, and by the next morning he was gone. He was the last person anybody in the family anybody would expect to lose. I really think he might have been a pre-COVID. He died of an acute respiratory infection that just progressed rapidly, and he died. But he had built this, what he called his castle in Tennessee, and he was building it for about 30 years. Every time we would visit, we would get a job to do on his castle. And they, meanwhile, were living in a rather ordinary little house on the same property. When they finally moved into the castle, he died within a few years after that. But he's a, all we have to do is say, Cousin Phil, and we all get filled with wonderful memories of this man. He had no children of his own, but his wife had children, and he was a real father to his stepchildren. and he was a real cousin to all of the rest of the family. So there are many people to regret. And it's wonderful to have those memories. And I don't think we can remember forever, but we can certainly remember for a while.
Anyone else wish to share? Well, I want to share a memory. First of all, after I made this list that we read earlier, I thought it would be a good idea if I got a picture of everyone we had read, for those of you who know and don't know them. So I've got 3 pages of pictures, which I'll put up here so you can glance at them. But the person I want to highlight that I've thought about a lot about the years is Pat Watkins, who died in 2013, but she's still very much with me. And well, there's so many memories. When I had broken up with a partner and I couldn't get back into my house, I asked Prairie, I announced at Prairie I needed a place to live. And 5 people raised their hands that said I could come live with them for a month and a half, 2 months maybe, while I was getting my tenants out of my house, because you know you have to give them time. And Pat was one of them, and Aaron Bosch was another, and Barbara Rames was another. But I lived the longest time with Pat Watkins. And people said to me, you know, how can you get along with her? Because she was from the East, you know, and people from the East, you know, New York, they're a little bit different than us very polite Midwesterners. But I had a great time with her. She was a very active person, and I didn't even know many of the activities she was in until she died. And I went to the memorial service, and there were these 2 or 3 rows of very statuesque black women, very black women. It was a sorority she belonged to, and I had to look up later what it was. And what it was a sorority that taught their members to be active in government. And Pat was very active in government. One of the things that she did was she welcomed new citizens. She would, I don't know how she did it. I know she always went to their naturalization ceremonies. And I would be working on my schoolwork because it was a school year already. And she would be going off to her meetings, and then she would come back, and then she would lean on her counter, and I'd lean on the counter, and we'd talk for about half an hour. It was really, I really enjoyed that. So that's just one thing about Pat. By the way, she was a black woman. We don't have any black people in our adult population. We need to have some here. So, that said, I'll put this here in a minute, and we'll go on to our offering. And this quarter it goes to Porch Lights Dwelling Intervention Grants and Sustenance Program, called DIGS, D-I-G-S, which provides eviction prevention counseling and financial assistance to households facing eviction. And our offertory is called Into the West by Annie Lennox, is performed by Amber. And I believe we're going to have a show on the screen. And I believe you also have the lyrics that you can follow along to, maybe on the screen and also on your page. But do that silently. We're listening.
Thank you.
Our closing words will be read by Reverend Ralph.
On this day of remembrance, we remember those who are no longer present with us here, but who remain forever present in our hearts and who live on in our memories. We embrace those whose sorrow is unmeasurable. We have no cure for sorrow, only the comforting love of those who are closest to us. We honor those in public service who continue courageously to run toward danger on our behalf. May we be worthy of their courage and sacrifice. And we ask our civic leaders to always guide us in ways that promote peace over war, tolerance over intolerance, reason over blind passion, and love over hate. May all here find peace in their lives, hope in their days, comfort in their nights. Let us go now with peace, hope, and love in our hearts.
Our closing music is number 123 in the Gray Hymnal, accompanied by Amber. And the words will be projected on the screen again, or you may follow along in the Gray Hymnal. I tend to like to follow the music, so I look at the Gray Hymnal. Please stand in body or spirit. Amber will play it through once, and then we'll join in. Next Sunday, our presentation is Decolonizing Spirituality by Nandi Sunita Nandihali. And this talk is sponsored by Badger Talks. We'll have a potluck after the supper, so after the service. So be sure to bring a dish. Next Sunday in Ari is Cook and Learn Day. And we'll have some of their food. South Asian visitors will tell our young people about the Hindu holiday Diwali and help us prepare a treat for Prairie's potluck. Third announcement, the nominating committee is announcing an opening on the Committee on Ministry. We need creative people who like to see and work with the big picture and help define our mission and vision for Prairie. It's a big opportunity. Please contact Heidi Hughes or Barbara Fry or Margaret Moses, who I don't think is here today, if you're interested. Now, Chris Porter has an announcement about our pledge drive.
So Thank you very much to everyone who has already submitted a pledge. As of this morning, we had met, we have $92,987 with 33 pledges. That's about 59% of our goal. So we have 65,000 to go, and I'm hoping to hear from about 27 or 30 more pledgers. Although I did get a few more pledges this morning, so we've creeped up some. So, so get your pledges in. Thank you very much.
I didn't see any announcements to read, so we'll, there are more announcements in your order of service and in the News of the Week email. At this time, we are stopping the recording.